Only for a moment did the spirit glimmer there. Then the sallow oval between Ged's arms grew bright. It widened and spread, a rent in the darkness of the earth and night, a ripping open of the fabric of the world. Through it blazed a terrible brightness, and through that bright misshapen breach clambered something like a clot of black shadow. Quick and hideous, it leaped straight out at Ged's face. Now, I'll point out some of the things stylistically that are so beautiful there, I think. A pale spindle of light, a sallow oval, a clot of black shadow. Le Guin is much more in the realm of modernist writing, which is trying to use unexpected descriptive terms, rather than, say, Tolkienian writing or even Donaldson's writing by Thesaurus. Now, the rest of the book, Wizard of Earthsea, is about Ged trying to get rid of this shadow, to fight it, to run from it, whatever he can do. And I won't give away the whole plot, but I'll say that the problem at the end is that there are two things in the world, Ged himself and this shadow beast, that both have the same name. And that's a flaw in the structure that Le Guin set up, with everything has to have a unique name. There are two things, two signifieds, with one signifier. And eventually that problem is solved and the world is healed. In the second book, The Tombs of Etuan, I'll go into the plot of that a little bit more, but just to set up this linguistic material, there's a character named Tenar, who's the one priestess of the Tombs of Etuan. These are in a barbarian land, not part of the archipelago, though they are part of islands, where they don't believe in magic, but she's the one priestess. And when she's taken from her family at an early age, they go through a ceremony where her name is taken from her, and she is then called Arha, which means the Eaten One. And so she has no real name, but the same name as all the other priestesses going back, and she's supposedly reincarnated. Ged comes to the Tombs of Etuan and has this interaction with Tenar. Ged comes to the Tombs of Etuan and has this interaction with Tenar / Arha, and he says to her, "You can be Tenar, or you can be Arha, but you cannot be both." In other words, she can't be one signified with two signifiers. It won't work. You can't have two names. You can only have one. She has to choose which one she's going to be. So it's the mirror image of that situation where Ged and his shadow both had the same name. Here it's that two names for one person, and that's solved at the end of that book. Finally, in the third book, The Farthest Shore, that linguistic system becomes even more troubled. Things don't match up with their names anymore. A wizard has cast a spell relating to death. That's another theme, and we'll go into that much more. And in so doing, he has ruptured the bond between name and thing. Now it's like our regular world, our mundane world, where signifier and signified don't have any special relationship, and the magic stops working. The magic is draining out of the world. And so Le Guin is suggesting there, you can't have two things with the same name. You can't have two names for the same thing. And either more, you can't have names that just refer to other names rather than referring to things. If they refer just to other names, we're back in our world. So each of those books is Le Guin kind of working out this physics of her magic that she's come up with. And I think that point is important in understanding Le Guin as a writer. She's actually was first known as a science fiction writer before as a fantasy writer. And some of her science fiction, The Dispossessed, The Lathe of Heaven, and particularly The Left Hand of Darkness, are seen as monuments of really good science fiction. She thinks like a science fiction writer, or maybe like an anthropologist, in that she's trying to develop the implications of the choices she's made. Once she said words going to equal thing, well, what are the problems you could get from that? And that's how it plays out in Earthsea.